5-2, Tuesday, May 1st, 1:30 p.m., Room 350, Full Committee Work Session. Costco 2008, 2009, 2769, 2770, and 2849.
The House Committee on the Judiciary will come to order. The clerk will note those members present. The balance are excused. First item on the agenda for work session is House Bill 2008. And House Bill 2008 has been tabled by operation of the 60-day rule. At this time, the chair would move that House Bill 2008 be taken from the table. I'm not sure whether that's debatable or not. Well, there is any debate on it. I'm glad to entertain it. Is there any discussion? Okay. Is there, let's have a vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Passes. 2008 is off the table. You're being handed proposed amendments to House Bill 2008. Wait till we get to this. We'll have the staff go through it.
This can't be.
I think maybe I've got two here. Yeah, I got two. That's why you don't have to. Okay, Joan?
Raise your
hand.
Yeah. Raise your hand.
House Bill 2008 is a bill to open, well, to make greater access to better medical records for adopted persons. It comes from the subcommittee with the amendments called proposed amendments having been adopted. But the second page of proposed amendments, which says Kathy O'Brien in the upper left-hand corner, would substitute for the third and fourth amendments on proposed amendments. The bill, as it comes from the subcommittee, says that before a final decree of adoption, court shall be provided a medical history of the child and the biological parent as complete as possible under the circumstances. Subsection 2 of Section 2 of the bill, as originally proposed, gave a sort of minimal statement of what should be included in the medical history if it's possible. The subcommittee came up with the proposed amendment that says, after line 10, insert the medical history of the biological parents when possible, shall include but not be limited to hereditary or congenital defects or disease or disability experience. The proposal by Kathy O'Brien, which would substitute for that, is much more complete. The subcommittee was not entirely happy with the language that they adopted because it was vague. So this is, Kathy was really presented as a substitute for that language.
Kathy, would you like to come up and answer questions about your proposed amendments? I guess this is beautiful. The only question I really have, and it's one that we were concerned about when we discussed the degree to which the medical history would be provided, is that we didn't want to do anything that would require something in cases where the information wasn't readily available and at that point might hold up the adoption and allow the adoption to take place.
Right. Joan and I had discussed that I assume you have the original sheet that I had typed up and that we would need to insert the language on that first line of the proposed amendment, the medical history shall include when possible, but need not be limited to the following items. And a second amendment that I had also suggested to Jones, that was a later consideration, would be in subsection D to include allergies as potentially inheritable genetic or physical traits. Include allergy with baldness, colorblindness, et cetera.
After epilepsy.
After epilepsy. Or wherever. If you'd like to do it alphabetically, I guess it would come first before baldness.
Okay. Baldness.
It's potentially inheritable trait. And my experience has been that a lot of adopted people want to know some of those, their physical beings, some of the facts of what can be physically inherited. which would include a tendency toward baldness. Even for women, it's a sex-linked characteristic that they could pass along to their children.
Well, my...
Representative Mason.
My point, this may sound picky, but there's such an emphasis in our society as it is on whether or not someone does or does not have hair. They all laugh, you know, but...
Nobody has that problem, yeah.
But,
well, not in the committee. Are you hiding something?
and as at last report, there was nothing you could do about it, short of Proxmire surgery. So I don't know what you use as terms in there. To know that your biological parent was bald, I think you should allow the young adopted male perhaps to hope or whatever it happens. I don't see what use is going to serve to say your biological father was bald and you have that to look forward to. Maybe
I think it's basically to alleviate curiosity. It wouldn't conclusively say that you were going to be bald either.
Let me ask you a question then. Is curiosity the basis of this bill? Because if it is, I won't vote for it.
No, I think there's a real need that the subcommittee heard testimony that there is a need for a great deal of medical information. Some of it would border more on curiosity as to your physical being, where that came from biologically and genetically. But it would be hard to draw the line between what is medical information and what would merely be satisfying the adoptee's curiosity.
I wasn't on the subcommittee.
Any other questions regarding proposed amendments? Representative
Lombard? Well, I just want to, I guess the only part here, the subparagraph E, so I have a question.
Yeah, genealogical information. Did you have a comment, Representative Lombard?
Well, I'm just... I haven't had a chance to read it before this, so that's why I'm kind of going over it with a fine-tooth comb, because we did go through it. And
I guess...
While we're studying, can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bugis and Representative
Comb. Kathy, do you have the bill in front of you?
Yes.
Also? And if I understand your amendments correctly, two goes in, you delete lines 8 through 10, which is the present to the original bill's printed parent and two close parent. You insert yours, which is considerably longer. Then you leave all of 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Yes.
And then, but with the exceptions of the 13, the amendments in line 13 and 14.
Right.
Which are minor. Now, does that contemplate, if I can ask Mr. Chairman one more, does that contemplate also some amendments that have been previously adopted? Maybe I should ask Joan.
Yeah, then if Kathy's amendments were adopted, then you'd go back to the subcommittee amendments for Section 3, which the emergency clause is being deleted and an effective date is being added. But the parts of the proposed amendments that I did, you ignore all the stuff about in line 11, delete 3, and insert 4. All of that is no longer relevant. What Kathy's amendments would substitute for in the subcommittee amendments are in line 8 after child and after line 10. Just those, that short part. The rest of the amendments would stand.
Representative Cohen?
Well, I guess Kathy... I have concerns about Section E. Number one, with where it's placed, you know, because you've still got the names, you've got, under 3, you've got a reference to the biological parents. And primarily this biological or biographical information fits under the parents and then under the child, I think. If you have a child that's already matured enough to find out whether they have athletic ability, you will know that as an adoptive parent. I just don't see how the on line 11, 3. Yeah, okay, the 3 doesn't fit somehow with E, and I guess I have questions about E in terms of how it would be with a form. What kind of a form would you have to go out?
I think that might just go in sort of a catch-all, any other useful biographical or biological information you as parents might be willing to convey to the child who will be adopted. And I know the subcommittee heard some testimony from a person who had a strong operatic voice and wanted to know where that came from. He sang out his testimony, in fact. And things like that an athletic ability certainly is not necessarily related to whether or not your parents had such an ability, but it would be something that, again, as Representative Mason pointed out, borders more along the lines of curiosity, of knowing where your specific talents, artistic ability, any creative ability may have come from, to the extent that such abilities are potentially inheritable.
I've got another concern, and that is that the way that I read this, the names of the biological parents would not be allowed to be in the medical history. But it seems that if you have a catch-all of any other useful or unusual biological or biographical information, that a biological parent supplying this information could basically give a person enough clues that they could track them back at some point in time. Now, this committee is considering House Bill 2367, but do we really want to include that kind of information under those circumstances?
Mr. Chairman, I would assume the rest of the bill, subsection 4, says that this medical history is given to the adoptive parents and won't be available to the adopted person until he or she reaches the age of majority. Or you, of course, could change that to age 21. And second, I would assume that subsection 2 would apply only so long as it wasn't inconsistent with subsection 3, that the names of the biological parents could not be disclosed. And if this language bothers you, you could include so that no clues to identity would be given.
What if I, as a biological parent, wanted to provide some clues as to my identity, so I couldn't put my name in, but I put in the names of my maternal grandparents, mm-hmm. or my parents, where they were born, date of their marriage, some things like that, as far as the family background, mm-hmm. does, it would allow a person rather easily to be able to track them.
I think we're missing part of the point here, though, when we are looking at this. We're looking at a situation in which I think customarily, if not in practically all cases, a biological parent who's giving up the child, at least initially, wants to completely terminate that relationship, and probably in most instances doesn't ever want to be contacted again. So it would seem to me that in giving whatever information the biological parent may be willing to give at the time of giving up the child for adoption, that biological parent is going to be very, very circumspect in what is put into this record. And I certainly don't think that any names would be put into the record. In the case of our operatic mistress, which was very, very interesting, the biological parent might have said, well, the father was an opera singer or something like that. But mm-hmm. I think we're looking, one of my major concerns in this whole issue is that of the confidentiality that, interest in confidentiality of the biological parents. And yet, if they, in a sense, want to waive part of that confidentiality and divulge some of this information, maybe that's their prerogative.
Mr. Chairman?
Joe?
There is one possible situation in which a biological parent might want to provide some kind of names, and that's in a termination, after a termination. If, when there's termination of parental rights, it's so the child can be placed for adoption. This presumably covers that situation, and if a person contests the termination, doesn't want to go along with the termination, then in filling out this form, that person might say, my parents were so and so. I don't know how likely it is, it's a possibility.
Also, it might be possible to delete the language in my suggested amendments relating to biographical information, if you're drawing a distinction between the biological as opposed to biographical, which would include names of maternal grandparents, say, that just delete the two references to biographical information in sub E. I certainly don't intend for this to substitute as a disclosure. It's just some information that is needed that adopted people say they would like to know, and that I think any of us, were we put in that situation, could understand that these are things we take for granted that adopted people can't assume.
Isn't there a deep down, somewhere down here, a real basic question about the function of adoption and the philosophy of it? It's a little bit like playing God, I suppose. Public policy of adoption. I wasn't on the subcommittee, but that's something that I've been lobbied on this issue by all kinds of people, individuals, and I've yet to really confront or hear confronted the basic philosophy of adoption. Aside from the termination cases, which are a wholly different situation, which I don't think any we can really touch upon here. I always look on adoption as a pretty absolute thing, and that the purpose of it is an absolute, that the child becomes the child of the new parent, period. I don't want to go back except in necessity. I'm sorry, it may be the fashion, but I've got real problems with going back, and I think it's bad public policy.
Representative Mason, I'm sorry that you weren't here for earlier testimony with the subcommittee, but there is a distinction, I think, between the a psychological child, which an adopted person becomes the psychological child of their adoptive parents, but still retains a biological identity that isn't satisfied through the adoptive parents. The reason I'm interested in this is that I've written a comment for a law review paper directed at this issue, and I'd be happy to forward a copy of that to you and any other members who didn't get it, that addresses it. It's basically the whole reason that the adoption records were sealed originally was to protect against the stigma of illegitimacy, and one of the strongest arguments for opening now is that that stigma is no longer quite so valid. I don't want to repeat all my
questions. We're getting a little far afield.
Right, I'm sorry.
Subject of this bill, and we're going to have more than ample opportunity with the later bill to get into this particular area. Right now, I'd kind of like to have the committee focus upon this bill and the proposed amendments to it. I guess my question to you is, subsection E is kind of, it's surplusage in the sense that it's not something that's vitally relevant.
Okay.
We are, in essence, really satisfying a person's curiosity really more than anything else in that area. I mean, there's nothing there that's life-threatening as to whether a person knows that they have an athletic, mental, artistic, or musical, or other ability.
That would depend on the relative importance you put over the body of over the mind, I suppose. I happen to believe that mental talents are at least as important as physical ability, but that's my own point.
I'd like to hear some testimony from the people from the adoption home before we take action on these amendments. I have some motions with respect to these amendments in mind, but before putting them, I'd like to hear from the other side if we could do what we're doing.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to ask the same thing. I think Kathy has presented us, very good amendments. The principal purpose of this bill, of course, was to focus on the medical records aspect of adoption. Nothing else, but she's right in terms of evaluating the testimony that was presented to our subcommittee. There is that beyond the medical fringe,
group that just simply wanted to know about talents or what have you, and this might provide, at least prospectively, some information that would satisfy many curiosities about people going further in the investigative process. I don't know, but I kind of like to instruct my Rutherford here for perhaps from representatives from Albertina Kerr and Boys and Girls Aid Society, and maybe Judge Beatty, or being partially selective.
First of all, let me ask, is there anyone in the audience that wants to comment on the proposed amendments? I see hands. Wants to comment on the proposed amendments. Is there anyone that wants to comment?
Okay.
Judge Beatty, do you want to come up?
Unfortunately, I'm from Albertina Kerr, and I think Alice also worked on it probably, but I haven't seen this.
Okay, so, well, can we get those to Susan while Judge Beatty is giving his comments on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, John Beatty representing the Judicial Conference. I just looked briefly at the amendments, and I think I have the gist of them. And of course, my position is must be taken in context with my position on the other bill, 2367, which I think you all have had before you. I think the information provided here ought to be medical. That seems to me that's the purpose. It's an important purpose. I think it's a legitimate public purpose, and it's not inconsistent with the with all of the other aspects of adoption as we have traditionally recognized it. I think where it goes on to provide biographical information, I think it is undesirable, and the more information that floats through that route, the more likely we are to have the confidentiality breached in one form or another. I don't think any of us can foresee what route that will people may follow in pursuing it. I think the example that I cited in on 2367, this is a purely fortuitous thing that indicates what people may occasionally resort to. So I would suggest that you simply limit it to biological or biographical, biological information, medical information. And I really don't think that athletic ability or artistic ability or things like that are things that really are appropriate to put in. What you get is going to be very spotty anyway. It may not be accurately measured at all because it's purely subjective on the part of the person who's providing the information. And if a child has, first of all, if a child goes into an adoptive home as an infant, that's at least a child that you're sure the parents are interested in having. And whatever talents the child may develop in the course of its life with that family, I think, will be generally recognized. And I don't really think this serves any useful purpose.
Judge Bailey, just to be clear, are you representing yourself or the Judicial Conference?
No, I'm representing the conference. We took a position through the Executive Committee of the Judicial Conference on 2367 and on similar information that might result in a breach of the confidentiality of the basic adoption process. I'm perfectly willing to say that I support it individually too, but this is a conference position.
Okay. Any further questions? Did you have some?
Yes, sir.
Or Sir Richards?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Beatty, what about Representative Lombard's postulation, or whatever you want to call it, that if we satisfy some of these biographical questions that people have, that we may in fact be terminating some searches that will result in the breach at some point?
I think that's a that is a legitimate hypothesis, Representative Richards. I just don't agree with it. I think that the best idea is a clear-cut public policy that the relationship is confidential. You have a new family. You no longer have any other family, and the only reason for the transmittal of information is a medical one. And I think that I think it's more workable that way than it is to dangle out tidbits of information that may lead people to pursue something that may not necessarily be in their best interest.
The only one.
Any further?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You've had a chance now to see the postmen's. Would you like to come forward?
We might as well sit up here together. I'm Herb Hansen with Albertina Kerr Center.
And Alice Meyer, Boys and Girls Aid Society.
And I think basically we would support what the judge said with respect to it being limited to medical information. We do feel that medical information should be made available. We have, as agencies, at the time a child has been grown, we've shared non-biological information with them depending upon what their need was. We feel that a skilled social worker can make that kind of evaluation, and I think that we might very well, we undoubtedly will continue to do this as opposed to putting it on a form. Now, one question I had. Is the supposition that the biological parent will fill this form out and in some way pass it directly to the, or we as agencies certainly would feel that we should do that?
Well, the court
people were talking, excuse me.
The way the bill is written, if you have a copy in front of you, section
I don't.
2 sub 1, the parent 1, close parent, just said before any final decree of adoption is the minor is entered, the court shall be provided medical history. And now I would presume then the court would decide whose obligation it is to furnish to the court, and the court in turn would pass it along to the adoptive parent. Because with the amendments we have before it, then we still say that it is not the entitlement of the adoptive child until that child reaches the age of majority. Further down in the remaining portion of the bill, with all these amendments.
For practical purposes, I think it's going to fall upon the attorney that's attempting to get the adoption.
It is an independent adoption. If it's an agency adoption, this is extraneous, I guess, but independent adoptions, I think, have caused most of the trouble in this regard, including a lot of searches because absolutely no other information has been available. But that's another problem, and I suppose needs to be dealt with in another context. We oftentimes give selected non-medical information to adoptive families, and the adoptive family has that information available. I think that's a different thing than providing it on a form, and I'd like to see the form limited to medical information, because I think that's crucial. And I think the other, unless it's carefully done or done on a face-to-face basis or done in terms of individual evaluation of circumstances, can be destructive and can open things up for further search and those things we want to avoid.
What is your reason for choosing to release non-medical kinds of biographical information? Why do you choose to do that in some cases?
It depends on the individual circumstance. The person might
What is the motivation?
What is our motivation? When we feel that it would serve to fill some gap person's development, when we feel for some reason that bears on his life and what the things that he's struggling with at that point, if he is struggling with something. So it's individually determined, and I think we saw all along that agencies had a part to play in this whole thing.
Representative Rutherford?
Aside from your concern about the particular aspects of these amendments, what was your position on the bill? 2008.
Well, we felt that there is a lack in general of adequate medical information, particularly in independent options, because agencies have had what medical information they could get in their records and could share that with adopted parents and could share that with adult adopted.
Could and did.
Yeah. Right.
Your concern is now with the principle of providing medical information, and you just feel the amendments may have some problems.
Yeah, we felt that we could, as for agency adoptions, provide that information without a bill. But we have this whole area of independent adoptions where a person and a family is denied, in most instances, a whole lot of information. We feel that's a big problem. But we felt that in order to deal with that particular aspect of it, we would support medical information being made available.
Mr. Chairman.
You must remember that oftentimes we don't have medical information on fathers.
That's not infrequent, as a matter of fact.
So would that be one of the values of the bill? One of the most poignant bits of testimony that I heard this year on this bill was a situation where a woman was afflicted with some real ugly allergies and did not, in a peculiar kind that had the history been known, she probably could have gotten treated better
and suffered
a miscarriage in the process. Well,
we wholeheartedly agree that medical information.
So would it stimulate you to get more medical information from the true parents?
Yeah.
I think it should. I think that.
Yeah, I think we've been stimulated more. I think that more attention has been paid to this in the last 10 years than has been in the past. However, a lot of people are very poor historians. It's not a panacea, of course, but it's at least an attempt to get some medical information in the hands of someone so that adopted parents can know what problems might come up and the adult. Can have some way to evaluate congenital and other kinds of situations. That,
I would have some motions to make it.
Representative Rutherford?
I would move in paragraph D, subsection 2, to delete that portion of the paragraph after the word families.
Discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hugues? I haven't put, well, okay.
I would just say, Mike. Might help to resolve it before we get the motion too far along. I would object to that because it contains allergies and such problems as epilepsy, diabetes. Those are hereditary. Those tendencies are hereditary.
It's not a conclusive statement of all hereditary diseases.
I understand, but we might even reword it to say something that.
Well,
can I speak to the motion?
Okay, I haven't placed it yet, and we're in the position where we haven't placed, we've got the bills amended before us, and these amendments, I guess we're working from, so we probably need a motion to adopt the amendments first before we amend the amendments that aren't particularly before us.
Yeah.
Well, Representative Rutherford, do you want to move the amendments? And then
okay, if that's the direction you want to go.
Unless someone has a great problem. I think there's a consensus for something in this proposed amendments to be adopted in the committee.
I would move the amendments.
Okay. Representative Rutherford moves the amendments entitled Kathy O'Brien, page 2, proposed amendments to House Bill 2008. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. It's adopted. Representative Rutherford.
Now I would move to delete on in paragraph 2 sub D all that language following the word families. To the end of the paragraph.
Okay. Representative Rutherford moves in subsection D of the proposed of the amendments after families in line 2, the rest of the paragraph be deleted. Discussion, Representative Rutherford.
The reason I have made this motion is that most of the discussion regarding the amendments has focused on this paragraph and the following paragraph and the specific list that is contained therein with respect to the type of information sought. In this particular paragraph, we're looking for genetic or physical traits, and the paragraph is amended to permit the person giving the information to provide everything that was necessary. It would not limit it. by including the list, we include some things, as Representative Nations pointed out, baldness, which seems to have limited value. We exclude certain things, and we include things about which there may be erroneous information given. And that's particularly true with respect to the following paragraph where we talk about artistic or musical ability. That's sometimes in the eyes of the beholder. So for these reasons, it seems to me that the list isn't necessary, but the policy can be carried out with the language that remains in the paragraph.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cohen.
Well, I guess I'd like to have started in a different way with this by moving to delete paragraph subsection E. And then, because my concern with supporting your deletion is that I think on our original amendments over here, we have some other words that deal with congenital defects, which probably ought to be somewhere involved in D, as Representative Rutherford has it construed too.
Representative Cohen?
Yeah, yes.
I'm going to get to paragraph E, and congenital defects are in paragraph A of the amendments that we just adopted.
Okay, we do. Excuse me.
I just wanted to take
I just want to make sure we got everything in here that we should have. We're okay. Go ahead.
I would just say that the only comment that I would have really is that I don't think there's necessarily any evil in including certain things and not excluding others. The baldness, that's a questionable one. I don't think that it's the other things, although I think were things that should be included if there is any information about them. And by listing them, there may be some people who would not otherwise think that these were inheritable genetic or physical traits or tendencies. They might not think of those particular things, and to have that just spelled out, A, B, C, D, E, has some merit, I would think, as opposed to just putting a period after families. Representative Richards?
I think the list evokes and perhaps instructs, as by its nature, as examples of the kinds of things that we seek as a result of this policy decision.
Representative Rutherford?
Just to respond, I think the list is misleading because it tends to suggest the types of answers that we want, and I can see somebody particularly in a busy position sitting in his office, and on line 15 of the bill, you'll see the Children's Services is to prescribe form. He looks down here and says, baldness, no, colorblind, no. In fact, baldness has to do with the maternal grandparent. It doesn't have anything to do with the person sitting in front of him. So, it might just as well be important to know whether or not the person is subject to hernias, because, and that's not in here. What about fallen arches? Maybe the person shouldn't go in the army. So it strikes me that to use a list, which the Children's Services is going to prescribe a form to use, is just going to be misleading.
Further discussion?
Please.
I assume there's going to be some objection on the motion. The motion is by Representative Rutherford to delete in subsection D of sub 2, after the word families, the rest of that line and the rest of the paragraph. The clerk will call the roll on the motion.
Representative Rutherford?
Aye.
Richard?
No.
Mason?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Cromer? Cohen?
Aye.
Ugas?
Aye.
Gardner?
No. Passes. Oh.
Chairman,
Krohmeyer will be recorded in the vote.
Mr. Chairman, with respect to paragraph E, I would move to delete the language after the word provide and through the remainder of the paragraph. And I don't think I need to restate the arguments I've already given.
Okay. Just a question, Representative Rutherford. I think the net effect of that motion is to leave the objections, or some of the objections, in that the people from the Boys and Girls Aid Society out at King Kerr and the Judicial Conference had regarding biographical information. Would it be your intent to delete biographical as well?
My thoughts were, Mr. Chairman, about that by leaving the language in as we did, then we left it a subjective decision for the biological parent to make whether or not they wanted to provide that information. As counsel for the committee pointed out, in some cases they may wish to do that. That's as far as I'm wanting to go. Someone else may wish to move to delete the entire paragraph, which would be another policy question.
Okay, let's take one at a time. Representative Rufford moves in sub B and line 2 that a period be placed after provide and the rest of the paragraph be deleted. Is there discussion?
Yes, I can't go with the biographic quite. A situation comes to mind, people that I know, where I think very sketchy, and yet perhaps some subjectively determined biological background might identify the mother of a youngster who is presently living in the same town with her child who's been adopted by another group or another. And if the words of biographical, slight error in the application of that subjective power could reveal a parent, and I think violate this whole concept, which I think we've all agreed to, is a very, very multifaceted. In the first place, it depends on the attitude and preserving the proper attitude on behalf of the new parents, the original parents, and the child, respecting the child's wishes to a degree. But right now, we're more concerned about the health of the child, and I think biographical revelation of certain biographical material, however well-intentioned, if it disrupts that, the sanctity and the secrecy of that information, and jeopardizes the concept of the adoption, you're going to have a bigger social problem than that. So I would object to that.
Yeah, I would just add that, really, I guess that's a... It is a policy decision, and how you're going to vote on Representative Rutherford's motion basically, I suppose, has something to do with how you feel about other bills this committee we're going to deal with, and really what the concept of adoption is. That's just what I was going to say, Rutherford.
Just in response to Representative Bugis's comments, of course, the information is permissive, only that which the biological parents are willing to provide. And a vote for this motion does not necessarily include that information in any event, because as I pointed out, someone else may wish to make a motion to take this one step further. I just didn't intend to proceed this way.
Okay, the motion is by Representative Rutherford to delete the language after provide in subsection of sub 2 of the amendments and the rest of the paragraph. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 No.
Cohen?
Aye.
No.
Aye. Passes. Further motion on the amendments as amended.
Chair.
Mr. Mason.
Although I just voted for the prior amendment, I think that the amendment didn't go far enough, and I wanted to go a little farther, so now I'll try to go a little farther. Move the deletion of the remaining part of paragraph E.
Okay, Representative Mason moves that the remaining portion of sub E be deleted. Is there discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
No.
Mason?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
No.
Aye.
Gardner.
No. Fails. Is there a motion on the bill? Are there further motions on the bill?
Yes, Mr.
President.
It's maybe considered a little bit nitpicking, but I think the second line on the O'Brien amendments, after paren 2, close paren, which reads presently, medical history shall include when possible but not be limited to, in view of the rest of the material which we have which follows is sort of at least duplicative. So I would move to strike everything after the word include, so that it reads, medical history shall include, and then it outlines.
Just a question before I place the motion, Representative Dugas. I think that we need the language when possible in there. I have some concerns that if the information was...
I would amend it then to say shall include when possible.
Okay.
And then strike the words but not limited, be limited to. Because I think we've got enough breadth in it without that. It just seems to...
Okay. Representative Dugas moves in sub 2, after the word possible, the language but not be limited to be stricken. Is there discussion? Not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Dugas?
Aye.
Strong?
No.
Stromberg?
Aye.
Mason?
No.
Rutherford?
No.
Gardner? Halt in this
position.
No. Bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to see the words when possible move to the beginning of that sentence because I think it makes the sentence will make more sense.
Representative Rutherford moves that the when possible in sub 2 be moved from its position presently to the head of the sentence. So it'll read, when possible, the medical history shall include but not be limited to the colon. Is there discussion? Is there objection? I'm hearing that, it's ordered. The further motions on the bill is amended.
Chairman?
Representative Lombard?
I think we're in a position to move it before the due pass, so I think we should.
Representative Lombard moves the House Bill 2008 as amended be sent to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Ian Gross.
Ian Gross. Gross. Is there discussion?
Clarification, Mr. Chairman, now, this is with the words biographical included in E, right?
That's correct.
I don't believe I can support it on the floor that way, and I'm concerned about the divulging the identity of one of the parties who doesn't want it, and I believe it's important enough to protect the concept that we've discussed here sufficiently that I'm going to have to oppose it on the floor, so I'll have to oppose it. I'm sorry.
We did try that once.
We tried it, but we didn't remove biographical.
Representative Mason?
Join Representative Hugan. The only thing I find objectionable in the bill now is the biographical information. I just see that it doesn't belong in there.
Yeah, right.
And I can see all kinds of problems, and I...
Is there further discussion on the motion? I said, is there further discussion?
I thought one of the other members of the committee was saying.
Well, my concern is I don't think we ever took a vote on whether there was a motion to delete the two words or biographical.
Okay, Representative Lombard withdraws his motion. If the maker of the motion before us would withdraw it, I'll try that one.
I've already done it.
I will move to strike the words or biographical from the first line in sub E, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Dugas moves in sub E that the words or biographical in the first line be deleted. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cromer.
This is a wild thought, and it may strike some of you as absurd, but then absurd things have been said. There are some situations where people might legitimately want to know biographical information that does not implicate the immediate parent, such as, for example, I'm not sure what the DAR's latest rules are for being able to belong to that organization. I'm not sure what other kinds of bloodline. Dependent from William the Conqueror and so forth. I think that there may be significant. Judge B has fainted on this one.
You want to keep this thing looking off lottery tag for you.
Is there further discussion? Motion.
You know, I hate to open another can of worms. It's better now than on the floor, I guess. I guess as I was sitting here listening to Representative Bugich discuss this, it did occur to me, is there anything to prevent the one biological parent from, for instance, the biological mother from saying that the biological father lives at 3758 Auburn Road Northeast or something like that?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cullen.
I assume that we still have the court involved in this process somewhere, and that if, in fact, the court decides to take a look at what, you know, and if it does, in fact, include somebody's particular name or identity, the judge has some options to deal with that question and pass it on in whatever form.
I'm going to support the motion, basically because I think that this is the improper place to be making this determination. We're going to have a vote at some point in time in this committee on just really what information, other than medical information, should be disclosed to whom, at what points in time. And I think that that probably should be the proper forum and time and place for this committee's decisions on those kinds of matters. Representative Richards.
Mr. Chairman, now I'm on the other side of the majority position on this bill. I think biographical information willingly given by biological parents can't help but set at ease and help a person identify and learn more about themselves. I think it's preposterous to focus attention on one hard, cold, medical, biological facts and forget about the personality and development of a child.
Well, okay. Is there further discussion? Okay, the motion is by Representative Bugis and sub E, first line, to delete the words or biographical after biological and before information. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bugis?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Perlmutter?
No.
Lombard?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Richard?
Nope.
Richard?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. It passes. Is there a motion on the bill as amended? Representative Lombard moves House Bill 2008 as amended to be sent to the floor, printed and engrossed with due pass recommendation. Is there discussion or motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Rutherford.
Aye.
Richards.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
Lombard.
Aye.
Perlmutter.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye.
Bugis.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Okay, let's take up House Bill 2009. We got amendments to this? I thought the bill was cosmetic.
Is the bill somewhere?
More cousins.
You know, you got to keep redoing it. Mm.
That's sort of being gross, Mr. Chairman, that last
bit. Yes, it was. Printed and gross. I'm going to start on this one.
Yeah. Okay, John, when you RC to take us through the bill and the amendments, if you would.
Purpose of House Bill 2000. First it has to be removed from the table if you want to work on it.
All right, Chair moves
that House Bill 2009 be removed from the table. Discussion? Objection? Okay. Go ahead.
The purpose of House Bill 2009 is to change statutory references from natural parent to biological parent. The testimony indicated that the opposite of natural is unnatural, and adoptive parents are in the sense unnatural. The amendments have not been adopted but are proposed by Kathy make certain other cosmetic changes, primarily changing child to adoptee or adopted person in situations where they're not in fact referring to a child. And changing around some language, for example, page 4, line 5, where it now says, the adoptive parents of the person they're issuing kindred, change that to, I'm sorry, line 7. The issuing kindred thereof would be changed to the adoptive person, to the adoptee and the adoptee's issuing kindred. They're purely cosmetic changes, except the things that are crossed out. Kathy and I did get together decided weren't necessarily only cosmetic, so those are not before you. I don't know how that got attached, but that was a mistake
Joan, are you satisfied in going through Kathy's proposed amendments that these are all accurate and shouldn't have any problems?
Yes, I am.
Anybody care to go through these one at a time, or do you want to
move the amendments, Mr. Chairman?
All right. Representative Rutherford has moved the amendments, proposed amendments in their entirety as they've been hand-corrected. Are there any objections to the amendments? Not so ordered. They are adopted as part of the bill. Okay. Any further questions or comments about the bill itself?
Move the bill as far as due passing amendments, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Dugas has moved House Bill 2009 to the floor of the...
That's just being engrossed.
Yep.
How many of these words are we inserting?
Well, it probably would be better if it were engrossed.
All right. Motion then of Representative Dugas is to engross the bill and move it to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Questions? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Dugas?
Aye.
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Schoenberg? Aye. Alrighty. Bill 2009 is completed now. Joan, what would be the most appropriate bill to move to next?
I think it doesn't really matter in the case of the next two. They're not related to each other.
House Bill 2769. Open the work session on House Bill 2769.
These are amendments that were adopted by the subcommittee. So.
These have been adopted?
Yeah.
We have to adopt them again, I think, under our committee rules. That's where Mark and
Denver.
All right, I thought we took the adopted bill as that came before us. All right, is there a motion on the adoption?
I move the amendment.
Representative Rutherford has moved the proposed amendment to House Bill 2769. Is there any objection? Hearing none, adopted. You have the bills amended before you now.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Rutherford.
I know from the hearing that there was only testimony in support of the bill, there was not an opposition. This does seem to be a worthwhile bill, so I would move that the bill be sent forward to be passed.
Representative Rutherford has moved that House Bill 2769, as amended, be moved forward with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Joan, is there any? Are you aware of any opposition?
No, the only question that was raised in the subcommittee was about no charge being made for the initial certificate, and that was taken care of by amendment that's saying a fee of no more than $1 shall be charged and collected. So, just now. I would like to request, if the bill does go out as a matter of form, that I be allowed to move Section 2 to the beginning of the bill where it properly belongs, and renumber Section 1.
Yeah, okay.
Pardon?
Who said that name is DSC? Representative Smith.
Yes, Representative Cohen.
I think there was a discussion at the subcommittee. In fact, we almost lost the bill because of the impact on having counties being requested to drop these forms and come out and do whatever. So there was some concern that you were adding an additional burden onto the county. That's what it was all about.
Representative Dugas?
I'm
not. This bothers me. We've been talking for days in this committee when we talked of adoption about the imperative of keeping confidential the nature of adoption. Now we give a certificate at the request of any of the three parties involved?
No, the certificate will be issued, but it doesn't mention the names of the biological parents or any information about the biological parents. It's the purpose of the certificate is to have a legal document that has the force and effect of the adoption decree. This certificate is currently being, or was, at least for a time, being automatically issued by at least one judge in Multnomah County. And it's the adoption decree itself, I think, goes only to the, not the archives, but the vital registrar of vital statistics or something. So this would just be an automatic certificate saying this person was adopted, but nothing about biological parents.
Isn't there a fee now? I mean, I seem to remember a $5 fee somewhere in this process. The last adoption I did.
You may be thinking of, I think Mr. Josh is here. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please come forward and identify yourself for purposes of the record.
I'm Phil Josh, attorney. The practice in Multnomah County is that today, and has been true for 8 to 10 years, as followed by all the judges, and as followed by the pro tem judges, or rather the judges who come from out of county, and they take the due to hear the production matter. And the present practice is that there is no charge for the first certificate, and for additional ones, the charge in Multnomah County is $1.50 per certificate. And that essentially has been the case all during this period of time. If I can say one word, I'm a little concerned about the logistics of the dollar for the certificate. The practice of the court, the judges have their clerk prepare this, seal on it, hand it to the adopted parents at the time. Well, is the dollar going to be paid there? Is the dollar going to be paid file? And you can complicate a clerk's life from those things. The filing fee for an adoption in Multnomah County is $15.90. The filing fee in Washington County is the same amount. I don't know about the other. I think that's sufficient. However,
question of the witness.
It's Representative Rutherford.
Is this form presently prepared by the attorney and signed by the court? Or is the court issued?
No, it's prepared by the court, issued by the court, not by the attorney.
Okay, any other questions? I was wondering about this. I might raise this question. I note that both in our amendments and in the original bill, we use the word shall. That is, if it's one certificate of adoption for any person who was adopted and so forth, a fee of not more than $1 shall be charged and collected by the clerk for the use of the county. Since we're putting this into the hands of the county, is there any reason why we have to mandate that the fee be collected, but simply just authorize that it may be collected?
Change the
name.
I don't know.
Somebody advised me to do it, and I did it, but I don't.
Of course, whatever. It seems to me, just because the county, Multnomah County wants to continue to issue the first one free, the reason why we as a state legislature should mandate they charge $1 for it.
Very quickly, what's the need of the bill?
Bill,
why don't you? I didn't hear what was asked, but
Mr. Representative Mason wanted to know the purpose for the bill, the reason for the bill.
The essential purpose for it is in the last paragraph, is to give these certificates a legal status. This started when the passport division wanted the original birth certificate. And that's how Judge Lewis called it. She personally had a tangle with the passport division with reference to her child whom she adopted. And finally she persuaded the passport division to accept this. Whether they still do or not, I don't know. It's a proof that can be given to, say, an insurance company in the support of a claim if it has a legal effectiveness. I intend this to be much like a letters testamentary or letters of administration. That you don't have to, especially with adoption, you don't have to prove it by the decree of adoption, which generally contains all kinds of confidential information, but it can be proved by this certificate.
Is there a motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Bugis said move the bill to forward the DuPass recommendation. I raised the question about changing the shall to may to simply authorize the counties to charge a fee up to a maximum of $1 per certificate, but not require that they do so. Representative Bugis has indicated to me he's willing to withdraw his motion for the purposes of making that amendment.
Okay. Representative Lombard moves that. Representative Bugis withdraws his motion. Representative Lombard moves the deletion of the word shall and the insertion of the word may.
That will occur, Mr. Chairman, on line 6 of page 2 of the bill. And it will also occur on the next to the last line on the proposed amendments which we previously adopted.
Okay.
May I interrupt for a second? I concur with the substitution of may for shall on line 6. That's the way the bill read when I introduced it to somebody.
Okay. There's a gremlin running around the printing office.
We have the same problem.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Is there objection to the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Cool.
Not by way of objecting, but then I have some concern that we want to specify a dollar again in there. You know, if we're going to just say may charge a fee, do we need to put the dollar in? Just by way of comment.
What about a reasonable fee? How reasonable?
I don't know.
You don't want the fee to be something that the county clerk thinks is reasonable. I think you better specify a dollar.
We're ready to cut Multnomah County down 50 cents on this one.
They
make it up on the
reasonable
first
in here. It's going to cost $20.
I just want to make sure that we know where we are.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing that, it's stopped. Is there a motion on the bills amended?
I think there's a fee bill floating around the legislature, which not this biennium, but next biennium, this one will be picked up by.
We may even have the opportunity to amend this center. Is there a motion on the bill's amendment?
Representative Rufford
moves that House Bill 2769, as amended, be sent to the floor as a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
A consent calendar type bill?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Placed in the consent calendar.
Aye.
Richard?
Mm-hmm.
Mason?
No.
Lombard?
Aye.
Cromer?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Passes. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to explain my vote.
Mr. Mason?
I think Mr. Joss is well intended. I keep hearing a phrase around the legislature, don't broke, don't fix it. I don't think anything's broke here. I think it's working very well in as far as I've seen it now, and there is a birth certificate involved in adoption. And I think that that dollar fee will come back to haunt him. I can see it. It'll be back next time. It'll be back next time. And in 6 to 8 years, I'll guarantee it'll be paying $10 to $20 for each one of those certificates.
Okay. Your comments are noted. Next bill up for work session is House Bill 2770. Joan, do you have that one?
This one has no amendments proposed. House Bill 2770 clarifies an ambiguity in the statute regarding notice to a putative father when paternity hasn't been established. Under the current statute, in an adoption, juvenile court, or other proceeding, the putative father is entitled to reasonable notice, reading from subsection A. Petitioner knows or by exercise of ordinary diligence should have known that the child has resided with the putative father at any time during the 60 days immediately preceding the initiation of the proceeding. And then the new language would be, or at any time since the child's birth, if the child is less than 60 days old when the proceeding's initiated. That's designed so that it's not necessary to wait until the child is 60 days old before an adoption proceeding can be commenced. And then the same thing down in line 12. Current language, the putative father repeatedly has contributed or endeavored to contribute during the year immediately preceding. The new language would be, or during the period since the child's birth, if the child is less than 1 year old. Testimony indicated that in some counties, the current language is being interpreted to mean that no adoption proceeding, unless the father was known, could be initiated until after the child was 1 year old.
A rather strange interpretation. Representative Omar.
Yeah, Mr. Joss is here, and on this bill he's had a good deal to do with his introduction and his discussions with me. I'm sure that he would answer any questions from the committee if that were necessary.
I don't know what that is. Is there a motion on the bill?
Move for due pass.
Representative Omar moves House Bill 2774, the due pass recommendations. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Richards.
My apologies to the committee, but I guess I'd like just another restatement of what the bill does.
Mr. Shaw, would you like to respond to that?
Well, as our legal counsel mentioned, there was a interpretation of this bill that came out of the district attorney's office of this county, Marion County, that I do not agree with, although I would have to admit that the language in the bill is somewhat ambiguous, in which it was stated that it is the policy of Marion County, district attorney's office, that no adoption could be had unless there was this other...
Phil, if you want to be seated, please go ahead. You don't have to
Thank you.
Stand to address this bench anyway.
Other truth as to the putative father. And in that particular case, it meant that the child would have to remain until the child was a year old before the adoption could take place. There was another attorney who was handling that case. He was very concerned with the Catholic Services for Children case, and I counseled with him. Unfortunately, through a fluke, there was a good result. But I didn't... seemed to me so easy to cure the ambiguity that has been raised by one attorney's office. Now, I want to add this so there's no, can be no concern, as I mentioned when I testified before the subcommittee, the Civil Liberties Union cooperated in connection with the passage of this Putative Father Act. And I have a letter here from dated March 23, 1979, from Charles F. Hinkle, chairperson of the Civil Liberties Union of Oregon, with reference to this specific bill, amendment to ORS 109.096. Paul Meyer, fellow attorney, who's the one who worked with us for passage of the initial legislation, whom I first contacted
Paul Meyer referred your letter of January 18, 1979 to me. This may come a little late since I don't know what the status of HB 2770 is at the moment. But I want to assure you that the ACLU has no objection to the proposed amendment. The amendment is obviously consistent with the intent of the basic statute, which ought to be construed in the fashion you propose, even without the amendment. A clarification may be helpful, however, so I would hope that the legislature would approve it simply as a housekeeping matter. And so there's no objection, I know, of part of anyone to the bill.
Okay. The motion is to send House Bill...
House Bill 2770 to the floor with the due pass recommendation and placed on the consent calendar. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Pass.
Can we put that on the consent calendar?
Yeah, that was part of the motion. We will not take up House Bill 2367 today. That matter will be carried over. The reason that it's going to be carried over is because we have one member of the committee that's vital and interested in it. It's not here to be Representative Smith. I'm sorry if some people came some distance to be concerned with that bill or to offer input to the committee on it. We're not trying to pull any kind of fast ones on you, but I think it's an important enough issue that all nine members of the committee should be here to decide. The next bill on the agenda is House Bill 2849.
Bill, thank you. Finish for the afternoon. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2849 is one that I mentioned to you yesterday at the end of the meeting. It imposes mandatory minimum sentences in the case of felonies that are committed by people who are armed with a weapon. The bill was voted out of the committee last week, and then after it was voted out, it was voted out, to refresh your memory, basically in line with the fact that you voted it out last time as minority report number two, and it came back in, you looked it over and sent it back out to the floor. After you did that, let's say a fiscal brought up the fiscal impact statement, which states that for the next biennium, 79-81, the impact would be $1,700,000, and that by 1985, the impact would be $19,600,000. I'm going to distribute that to you now. And you might still vote it up.
I have fiscal responsibility.
You might send it away from me, though.
Mandatory sentencing bill?
Yeah. That's correct.
That's a good place for it.
You know, I think if it goes to where it's
going to come out,
this is going to be coming out. I don't have a problem sending it because it's important. But I think that this is an important enough issue as far as fiscal impact is concerned. The committee should reconsider the vote by which it passed it, and perhaps another motion would be in order when the due pass recommendation.
Well, as a practical matter, with this fiscal impact, if it reaches the floor, it's going to come back here to go to Ways and Means.
Yeah.
So I would ask that we reconsider the vote by which we pass 2849 to the floor.
Representative Rutherford moves that the committee reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2849 was sent to the floor to due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Rutherford?
Aye.
Richards?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. Passes.
I will move the bill to the Ways and Means, Mr. Chairman.
Is that with a
due pass recommendation?
Representative Ruffin moves that House Bill 2849 be sent to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Chairman.
Representative Perlmutter.
If the motion passes, will the committee alert Representative Wilhelms to review the date of his bill.
Yeah.
I'll do that personally.
I think because it doesn't have subsequent referral, it's going to go to the floor and then they vote.
Yeah, that's going to be adoption of committee report.
Right.
And I will make a motion.
Right.
For further discussion on the motion. Motion is by Representative Brohmeier to send House Bill 2849 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Richards?
No.
Mason?
No.
Lombard?
Aye.
Brohmeier?
Aye.
Cohen?
No.
Gardner?
Fails.
There's five
of you. No, there's not. There's four. Would you have Representative Bugis call if he's in his office and bring him back?
You want me to change my vote? All right, I'll change my vote.
All right. This is the committee. This bill is going to come out.
It's coming out. One way or the other.
Okay.
Let's discuss this bill for a bit here, if you don't mind.
You really have to call me if you can, because I guess I'm not with it. I'll send it to Ways and Means.
Okay, Representative Cohen moves that House Bill 2849 be sent to the Committee on Ways and Means for due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
You're coming right there.
Okay.
We found her. Everyone.
We found our fifth vote. If not, the court will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Brohmeier?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Richards?
No.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Maybe
I've
picked
up Romero.
Is there further business to come before the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
If not,
excuse me,
Representative Brohmeier?
We're not able to have a full subcommittee hearing this morning, in part due to the fact that I had to participate in the Agriculture Committee rather than Judiciary. But I wonder if we could schedule Senate Bill 483 for the full committee, Dennis?
Sure.
Yeah, that will be done.
Okay. And 3021 for the full committee?
That will be done.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
More on the topic of 356, which was up this morning.
I know the committee's disposition toward that is.
You did work on it.
I think there's a problem there, but that bill has got real constitutional problems in its present form.
It's got real. I'd be willing to vote for something along that line, but
the language in that present child pornography bill would not make
it. I didn't ask anything.
I think they should have a subcommittee work
that one. I'm my full intent to work on that.
Yeah, because it just, it's a good idea that.
Okay. Further business to come before the committee. If not, we're adjourned.
Where is it? Okay.